Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Hey, everybody. This is yet another incredible episode of Real Nerds Podcast. We've made it to 2024. We're still here.
What?
But we have to go back to last year to see our movie of the week. Our movie of the week is Mufasa, The Lion King. Stay tuned where we'll recommend the film or not, play the trailer, then spoil the movie. Because every week we see a new movie and we podcast our experience with the world. I am joined, as always, by Brad. Hey, what's up, buddy?
So back up. You had all that build up to like introduce 2025, but you said 2024.
Well, no, I said we have to go back to 2024 because Mufasa came out in 2024.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Follow what I'm saying, Brad. If this isn't about you, you need to listen to me.
No,
I'm tired of
please. There's nothing you can do about it.
I'm tired of being the only star on this fucking podcast.
Christmas. I got to like edit it, post it, and be like a personality that's like a big star like you?
Yeah.
How am I supposed to do that? I've had 14 years of training on this show, and I'm still not there. I'm never going to get it, Ryan. I'm never going to get it.
You're just our behind-the-scenes guy. It's cool. It's okay, Brad.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm fine with it, too, because you do a great job. Thanks for all your hard work.
Thanks. Thanks for hosting, because no one would listen to it if it was just me talking about
movies.
Yeah,
it'd be shit.
Yeah.
But we also talk about the movie news of the week and what we've been watching. This is, you just mentioned it, Brad, this is our 14th year. We're a little older, not necessarily wiser, but, you know, we still do this.
Yeah, we can't, I don't know when we can stop. Then once the curse is lifted, then we'll be free.
Yeah, you know, I've said this every year we do this. I watch movies anyways. Gives me an excuse to talk to you and see movies at the same time, you know?
Yeah, it's you know, there's a lot of effort that goes into it, but also not.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's a whole industry creates our source material for us, so.
Yeah.
That.
I mean, it starts with because we've always loved movies. And we just now have an outlet to share it with other people.
And most of the people I know aren't as dedicated to watching movies as we are. So I would feel very alone if I didn't have you.
Yeah, no, I'd literally be seeing movies and, you know, it'd be the Incredible Hulk theme every time I would leave.
Yeah.
So
I just watched another great movie.
No one to talk to about it. And it was weird, man.
It's even more increased because like there's so fewer people in the theaters when you go anymore that like often leaving by yourself.
Well, you know what I've noticed too is I've been going to movies sometimes. Well, I usually try to go to the Alamo because I have my season pass to it. But when I go to the Littleton one, their last showing is 7 o'clock at night, and when I get out of the movie at 9:30. Everything's turned off. There's no lights going on in it. It's just a far cry of what movie theaters were pre-pandemic, you know?
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's like, even before, like, before the pandemic, like things were kind of like ghost towny, but we grew up in a time where, there's lines around the block. And I just keep thinking about those days. It's just like, they're never coming back.
Oh yeah. And a lot of it has to do with, people deciding it's cool to shoot up movie theaters and not having midnight showings, because I remember seeing, distinctly for Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, how jam-packed the Belmar Theater was, because they had four or five screenings at midnight and everybody's in there in costume and having fun. And, it's something I actually really miss. If I'm being honest.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's like the fun, even just without those big things, just like, the societal impulse to be like, well, I can watch at home, so
yeah,
I don't have to leave. It's like, it's so lazy.
And you're right. It's because people aren't as dedicated as we are. And I get no one can be, but there's something about going to a movie in the theater. And my coworkers, they go, oh, when's that going to be on streaming? And in my head, I go, why don't you just go see it in a theater? I don't know.
It's just like a weird cultural shift that I'm just like,
yeah,
not on board with. Yeah.
And I agree.
They'll argue like, oh, tickets are so expensive. I'm just like, you'll buy concert tickets. You'll buy sports tickets. Like, they're way more expensive than any movie ticket.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But priorities. It's everything too. How can you make money off of music now as an artist? Because people are so wired to just use Spotify that it, how they calculate album sales, it doesn't even matter anymore.
Yeah, I get they have to tour, but I'm just like, movie tickets are like the least expensive, I think.
I agree.
All those kinds of entertainment.
And they have these subscription plans now. I tell everybody, I pay $20 a month for the Alamo. Yeah, I have to pay the $1.50 convenience fee every time. So at the most, I'm spending like $40 a month to see, I don't know how, 20 movies a month if I wanted to.
Yeah, in a perfect world, yeah, you could go see 30.
Exactly.
Three
or four movie tickets.
On my Regal one, they send you statistics of like how everyone else is doing with the program. Mm-hmm. And there's some people who see like 70 movies in a month. I'm just like, so you saw like two a day?
Wow.
Like, what kind of life do you have that's a thing? Like, you must be like, you're super rich and you're paying for like a movie subscription service. Like, okay. Yeah. Or not super rich, but like, you don't, I guess you don't have a job. So you must have a lot of extra income. And you're not paying full price for movies.
Well, great. If I won the lottery, I definitely would just go see movies and read comic books all the time. So,
yeah, I don't think I'd sign up for a subscription. I would just be like, if I had that much money, I'd be like, cool, yeah, prime time, the full 15, give it to me. But whatever.
Yeah, I gotcha. Brad, do you recommend Mufasa?
I don't know. It's like the third week in a row of like, it's all right. I didn't find the music all that like memorable or great. I think there's maybe one song that stuck with me compared to like the original film. Mufasa's motivation or Scar's motivations for like why he's who he is later. It's kind of like, oh, great, this old thing. I don't know. It's just nothing ever really felt like necessary. Also, like when you watch The Lion King, it feels like there's generations upon generations of like tradition in this, like, animal Serengeti culture or whatever. But if you watch this movie, it all happened like a generation ago. So that's kind of like, reductive for me. So, yeah, what'd you think?
I actually is one of the surprises of the year for me. I wrote on Letterboxd that it's visually stunning and unburdened with having to retell a previous story. Mufasa is a roaring success. I am surprised how much I had fun in this film. And I'll talk about it after we play the trailer.
Well, what do we have here? Move your head and let me see. Come on. Oh, this is the thing.
What thing?
It's the thing!
It's time I tell you a story.
A story! So glad I brought some crickets.
Rafiki, keep going.
The story about a prince who would come to be known as Scar and an orphan named Mufasa. Two brothers who set off on a dangerous journey to find a new home and a new family.
Why are you following us?
I was hoping to find my pride.
My name is Mufasa.
I'm Sarabi.
My name is Taka.
He's going to start a new kingdom.
Come with us. You don't have anyone.
She does indeed have someone.
That's Zazu, my scout. Don't eat him.
You heard her. Do not eat me. Places to go, kingdoms to see.
Finally, food.
If you take my life, you will never find where you are going.
Taka, do not eat him.
Wonderful. Another we're not supposed to eat.
You expect us to follow this hallucinating baboon? No offense.
We go together.
Outsiders, this is not a drill.
There will be one Lion King.
We have to carry on. We owe that to each other.
We're trapped. What do we do?
Get ready to run!
I never signed up for this.
We have come to rule without mercy.
This was a bad idea! I will not bend to evil. We must fight together.
We are nearing destiny, Mufasa. And so, the earth must shake.
Stand down. I am highly trained and occasionally effective.
We go together. What's
interesting about this movie, though, Brett, have you ever seen Lion King 1.5?
No.
It's the opening is a lot like it, where it's Timon and Pumbaa basically being inserted into the movie because everybody loves them and they have really no purpose in the new movie. But that's what it reminded me of. Anyways, Mufasa the Lion King, I mean, it's pretty much in the title. It's the origin story of Mufasa and how he became the Lion King. I want to say there is actually, the story is known before, and I want to say it's from a comic book or the novelization of The Lion King, because I remember someone posted about it a long time ago. I don't remember if their names were changed or if they changed the story, so the information I told you is really worthless, but I do know that it has been discussed before. But you're right. The story is Mufasa is actually an orphaned lion cub who stumbles across, he's not Scar at the time.
What was his name?
Taka.
Why does he have like a British accent, but his family doesn't?
I don't think they think about stuff like, who's ever the best.
I get that he has to because like Jeremy Irons did, but like, in his own little like subfamily, I don't remember any of his mom or his dad having like a British accent to them.
So. I don't remember. But Mufasa's brought into this other pride, and they're kind of old school, or they don't allow
outsiders.
But what's really fun, and you know, is Taka allows Mufasa to beat him in this race, so they can be brothers and. They form this bond that's really cool. And
why was that a secret for him? Like, why was he harboring, like, yeah, he says, like, you want to know a secret? I've always wanted a brother. I'm like, why was that a secret to you? Like, you would never tell your parents that? Like,
hey, mom and dad, get to fucking so I can have a sibling.
Yeah. I heard them say that they didn't want any more children, but I don't want to tell them that I really do want a brother.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just a weird thing to have, like, a secret about.
They eventually are have to run away because Mufasa saves Taka's mother from an attack of these white lions that, instead of working together...
Oh, here we go. Whitey's bad again.
I thought... Do you think that's what they're going for an allegory of? I just thought it was... That,
I hope so. Know, I really hope so.
I just thought, because they're just, you know, a different kind of pride. But these lions take over. I mean, I guess now that I'm saying it out loud, take over the land from the other ones and drive them out.
Oh, yeah, I get it now.
Yeah. yeah. And so the whole pride is killed, and then they're going for the last bloodline because the big white lion, who I forget his name, but Kiros, is he basically wants to be the only king instead of having, you know, like a democracy or whatever. And
he's also super upset that his kid was killed.
Yeah, and he's upset because his kid was killed by Mufasa. And Mufasa enlists the help of Nairobi to get to what's the place from The Land Before Time where they're trying to get to?
The green place.
Yeah, that's all I was thinking of when they're trying to get there.
Also from Mad Max, but yeah.
And they meet Rafiki along. And I love Rafiki's story in this one. I think he's a cool character. And I mean, visually, I think the movie is stunning. And it was just, it moved me in a way I wasn't expecting. I think maybe because I had such low expectations for it, where Jon Favreau's 2019, right? Or 2017, whatever one, Lion King photorealistic one, while it looked great, I thought it lacked some of the heart and soul of the cartoon. And this one, I thought, captured it a little more. Once again, I think you lose a little bit because they look too real.
Yeah, at some points, I couldn't even tell some of the lions apart. Like,
yeah,
Taka doesn't look that much different from Mufasa. Like, you have to look for, like, this scraggly hair to be able to do it. So, yeah, like, the photorealistic part just really doesn't, like, captivate me. Which is, given the amount of work that goes into that, it's kind of a weird thing to criticize, you know?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's a double-edged sword because, I mean, the artists who worked on it are incredible. When the lions and the animals walk, you can see their muscles flex. I mean, it's really impressive. But, you know, you miss, you know, the little... Because when Scar gets his scar, it's not... You know, it looks real, but I want it to be like the cartoon where, you know, it's very prominent on his face. And, you know, he's a different color orange and he has the darker, you know, mane. And,
And just their expressions in general just really don't sell the emotions a lot of the time.
Yeah, and they can't because they're going to make it so real.
Yeah.
So I think it loses a little bit in that. But again, I think Rafiki's story is so great in this film. I do feel, you know, the power of Mufasa. And it's just, I don't know, I really like the movie. It was way better than I thought it was going to be.
But and then also like Taka, you know, having like a being in love with Sarabi, and then, you know, this is like, I don't know, like a week's journey that they're taking, and he's like, he's so broken up that, you know, his unearned love for her is for Mufasa instead. It's just like, and that's why he's going to turn on him. It's like, really? Like, you guys, I don't know what the lifespan of a lion is. Like, I don't know. They spent like 10 years together before that. And he's like, this one thing, this one week is going to like.
Well, no, it was building up because about how much his mom, you know, loved Mufasa and how he was adept at doing all this other stuff, and how he's the one who saved Taka's mom, but Mufasa gave the credit to, Mufasa gave the credit to Taka instead of taking it himself. So the resentment was building for like a week, Brad.
And also Pride Rock, like that was created during
the game. Yeah.
I don't know. I was watching the original Lion King. I always imagine like, you know, he's talking about generation. I just think of like Black Panther, you know, when he has like generations of ancestors in that ancestral plane. But no, it's everything kind of started with Mufasa.
Yeah, because he is the Lion King, Brad.
I thought there could be generations of Lion Kings, but I guess he is the Lion King.
Yep, shows what you know.
Yeah, that means Simba isn't a Lion King. He never will be. He's just a lion pretending to wear a crown.
Yep. One day.
And boy, their kid is so much anxiety over them leaving for an evening.
See, if it was my kid, I'd say, hey, do you really want to see your mom push a kid out of her vagina? Because you can come with me if you want.
Dude, you got to see this.
You want to see the placenta and everything?
Look, this is what you look like.
Ew, gross.
It's weird that they have to go like a different town to do that. Like they own the land and they can't just be like, here, take what's its name out of town. No, we're gonna go out of town for this.
Hey, we watch movies throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
So I watched, another like new obscure movie at the Mills called The Damned.
Never even heard of it.
Haven't heard of it?
No.
It's supposed to be a horror movie about a 19th century widow that, she's like, she runs this fishing village in Iceland. And this ship is off the coast, gets like hits a rock and sinks. And in the town, like it's winter and they're like really starved for resources. So when the ship sinks, some of the people in the town are like, should we go save them? And some people are like, well, then we got to feed them and stuff. And we're already kind of dying here. So maybe just let them die. We have to deal with it. So yeah, they let them die. And then after they let them sink, they're like, there's probably some resources in that ship. We should go take a boat out and scavenge what they had and take it for ourselves. And they find out that some of those people didn't die. They should have waited longer so that they would just like starve on the rocks that they rescued themselves to. And then they end up having to kill those people. and then there's like this ghost that like haunts them on the island and starts picking them off one by one. And yeah, that's about all I can say without spoiling stuff.
Is it any good?
I mean, it's in any other world, it would be an A24 movie, but it's just kind of slow and the kills are very abrupt. I don't know, it feels like there's stuff cut out of it that connects those things. It's very like Icelandic in production, so there's like no stars in it, you know. No one you know, and no one like you know has made it. So I don't know. I think like if Robert Eggers had made this movie, I think it would have been a little more interesting.
Gotcha.
A lot of it just takes place in like this one barn. A lot of times I'm just left scratching my head of like, wait, where, like that dude just walked out the door and he comes back and he's like, he's possessed, I think. I don't know what's going on in places. like the most interesting part is like, what do you do when you're really just starving and you have to like help people? But after that, it's like a ghost is like terrorizing people and killing them. And you're just like not sure how to deal with it. And that's like what most of it is. But the
at least a ghost is killing things. Sometimes ghost movies, all they do is scare people.
Yeah. Yeah. Without spoiling it, like, I don't know if it is killing them, but like, that's how I'm going to frame it.
Mm.
So, you know, there's a take of it that, you know, that they could just be starving and crazy and killing each other. So, and is there a ghost? I don't know. Based on the ending, I don't think there actually is a ghost, but yeah, it's made to look like that. So, yeah. What else? I think that's it. Oh, yeah. I saw a documentary called Tickled.
All right.
Seen it?
No.
So this journalist, he finds this ad for like this, you get paid to like tickle people on video.
Okay.
So he's like, hey, I'd like to do it. It's like MMA, but for tickling. And he's like, hey, I'd like to like do a report on this. And they like write back, they call him the F slur and says like, no, you can't do this. And like your whole life's up. He's like a gay reporter. So yeah, he's not allowed to do it. He's like, okay, that's a weird response to this. And so he just investigates further and further against their wishes. And you find out like the production company that does it isn't real. And there's like a single guy behind it who's like really rich in financing all this stuff, and he's tricked like all these depressed towns, like all the men in these depressed towns, into doing this thing.
So like a different version of Marge versus the monorail.
No, because like the person behind it, like if you cross them, they dox you. And so like in all these small towns that guys have like done this for money for, they end up like on the internet. And like their reputations have been ruined because, you know, it seems kind of gay. And so these like conservative towns, like, yeah, all these guys we're doing this like harmless thing. Get their lives ruined. And so, this investigative reporter just kind of digs deeper and deeper. It just gets more and more sinister. And also the documentary doesn't really end in a satisfying place. Like they finally find the guy and track him down, but then it like just abruptly ends, and like there's no resolution to it. And you have to watch another documentary to like get closure on it.
That's not fun.
Yeah. So like watching it, it's very like goes from being fun to very like sinister. And then you're just like left with nothing. But it is interesting that this is a real thing that exists in this world that's like pretty horrible.
Yeah, that is horrible.
Yeah. You think you're gonna be like have this fun documentary about tickling, and then you're just like, oh no, it's about power and persuading people to do things and like ruining people's lives. And it's like, damn, this world's sick. Anyway, that's what I watched.
Oh wow, thanks, Brad.
Hopefully something you watched is fun.
Oh, yeah. I watched, so I think I've, since the pop-up stores in Denver have been open, I think I've gotten like 4 or 5 Vinegar Syndrome movies. And so I've been watching them. This one I watched is, I actually have a shout select of this, but the Vinegar Syndrome was 4K. It came with a ton more special features, so... It's a little movie starring Chuck Norris called Invasion USA. And it's literally Chuck Norris killing a bunch of commies. And, you know, so the invasion is the communist Russians are coming up through Miami to invade the United States. But there's one man standing in their way, Brad. One man. And his name is Chuck Norris.
His character's name is Chuck Norris?
Probably. yeah, Chuck Norris is so hardcore, these characters don't need a name. But I mean, I guess if you want to call him Matt Hunter, you can. But it's literally just this perfect canon action film where there's random nudity, where they go into a strip club for some reason that doesn't need to happen. And it's directed by Joseph Zito, who directed Friday the 13th, The Final Chapter. So there's some over-the-top gore. There's lots of people being, like, killed. There's this one part where Chuck Norris lives on, I guess, the Florida Everglades kind of thing. And he's tracked down and they shoot up his house and then they blow it up with a rocket launcher. But Chuck Norris isn't at home. His friend is on one of those, what do they call them, fan boats, or with a big fan in the back. He's there and he's about to die. And Chuck Norris carries him through the charred remains of this house and lays him on some random mattress that's in his house. And then that's when he really goes after him for his revenge. Yeah, it's just a fun movie. I mean, it's totally dumb. It's totally mid-80s action movie where, whether it's Stallone, Schwarzenegger, or Chuck Norris, it's how many, you know, Russians can we kill and how many things can we blow up? This one doesn't have as much money as Commando or First Blood Part 2, but it's still a fun movie. And the Blu-ray is awesome. It comes with tons of special features, and the slipcover is pretty neat. So yeah, if you're looking for a silly 1980s action movie, definitely check this one out. And the other thing I watched this week was a film that I was begging to have a physical release. We started the campaign, Brad, I'm sure you remember, about getting Last Action Hero on 4K.
That was us. That was
which
all
we
us.
Were really successful in doing because it released. There's a movie on Netflix called Hush, directed by Mike Flanagan, who is kind of the go-to horror guy now. He does a lot of Stephen King adaptations. But this was an original idea he had with his wife. Her name's Kate Siegel. And it was always only available on Netflix. About a year and a half ago, Netflix took it off, and it was unavailable. So when that happened, Mike Flanagan reached out to Scream Factory, and they put together not only this film on 4K, but I didn't know this until I watched the special features. He actually did a separate cut of it, and I'll explain what the cut is after I explain the movie, that he got help with Shout from. And so it was included two cuts of the film on Blu-ray and 4K. And I tell it's going to be on my list of favorite Blu-rays of 2024. Everybody should get it. It's four discs, so it's pretty substantial in the release. But the movie is about a woman writer who is a mute. So she can't hear and she can't talk. And she's in...
Go ahead. A bad thing? It's the world we live in now.
I know. But, I mean, it isn't really a bad thing. get married and come talk to me. I'm just kidding. But no, so she has a house she bought in a secluded area so she can write, because she's going through writer's block, and her first book was really, really popular. Her neighbor comes over sometime during the day, and you know, they're friends and they're thinking about having dinner together, but she decides not to. The movie gets really interesting because while she's there cooking, her name's Maddie, while she's there cooking, her friend is brutally murdered outside by this dude in a mask. And so it's a home invasion thriller with a woman who can't hear and can't really communicate. And it's so she doesn't see her friend being murdered. And while she's walking around her house, the killer recognizes that she can't hear. So he sneaks into her house and steals her phone and sends her pictures of her on her computer. It's really good and it's really well made. It should have had a theatrical release. And what's really cool about this version of the movie is you can watch it how it was originally released. But he also released a version called the Shush Cut, where it drops all music. It's in black and white, and it only has the sound design, which is really cool. It's a really interesting way to watch the movie. At the end, he does put the score back in, because in the commentary or in the interviews, if you watch him on a separate disc that has nothing but special features on it, he talks about how it kind of got weird when and it, the pace got all messed up when there's no music to accompany the tension at the end. So they reinserted it a little bit at the end. But it's a really cool thing. And the Blu-ray is packed with special features. The movie is really well made. I highly recommend it if you haven't seen it. It's called Hush. And yeah, it's brilliant. It's a really great movie. And long live physical media. Mike Flanagan knew that if it's going to release on physical media, he wanted to do it the right way. So he adds a bunch of deleted scenes. I think there's 5 or 6 interviews with him and his wife. And what's really cool is they came up with the pitch for the movie over one of their first dates. And it was their first movie they worked on together. So they weren't even married then. And they kind of blossomed into their working relationship, because she's in all his stuff going forward, whether it's The Haunting, The Fall of the House of Usher. She kind of helps him, and she's a writer too. And it's a really cool story, how they came up with it. So you should definitely check out Hush and get the Scream Factory Deluxe Edition. Well, it only comes in one edition, but it's definitely worth it. And that's what I watched this week.
Cool. Yeah. I remember you talking about that like years ago when it came out. And I was like, I can't believe they didn't have a physical release yet.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, if it's something that you're interested in, I would definitely pick it up, because when you buy physical releases like this, it just makes them want to release more stuff. So, and I'm glad that that Scream stepped up and that Mike Flanagan put a lot of time into making it. Because it's a special movie, and it shouldn't, that's the problem with streaming, is they can decide that they're going to take it away. Because I don't even know if it's streaming anywhere now.
Probably not.
So it's good that there's a physical release of it. Again, because Netflix acquired it, put it on their platform for, 3 or 4 years, and then you're like, you know what, we're just going to take it away. For some unknown reason, I know it's popular. But anyways, next week we are seeing Wolfman. So that should be fun. Until next time, we'll see you at the theaters.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot a real nerd. Can follow the plot of a real nerd. Look at all the gods. Lights, camera, action. Real nerds.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bologna for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it.